Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, out there on radio listening land. Hope you're having a wonderful day. I just want you to just listen to the melody of God's love right now. He's loving on you. He has a blessing just for you. Let's get back to a little bit more music and we'll start the word.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever had to call him over in the midnight? Have you ever just had to call him, get up from your desk and go somewhere quiet and just call him? Have you ever had to call him? Thank God that he's such a beautiful spirit, that when his spirit touches ours, in the midst of all of whatever's going on, our chaos just kind of comes to a peaceful still. It just holds everything at peace. You just know that you're going to be all right when you can just call him. He is a love song. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. Thank you for your lovely spirit. Hallelujah. I feel your presence, Lord. Thank you so much. Well, this is your host, Von Dimas, and I'm here to just enjoy tonight with you, and just to give God praise and worship in him in any way that you want to. I invite you to just get your pen, get your paper, and get your sword. The spirit of the word is that sword, and that's what you need when you go to battle, right? You don't go to battle empty-handed. You need your sword. And then I invite you to just relax. Relax. Bring everything to the altar that you've got built up, collected up, mounted up, and let's bring it to the altar and just leave it there. See, when we leave it there with him, then we're able to just leave space. It clears up space in our spirit for him to refill us from where we've been running on empty. Don't you just need to be refilled tonight? Just refill. Just let him renew you, restore you, rebuild you. Hallelujah. Something's tearing you down. You know, we just need to be renewed. And we can't do that with all that old stuff that's been mounting up on us, that's been building up on us. And we can't solve those issues on our own anyway, so why not just take it to someone who can? Oh, come on. Whatever it is, let's take it to the Lord and leave it there. Hallelujah. Let's take it to the Lord and leave it there. You want to call out somebody's name that you know are depressed and oppressed? Call out their name to the Lord. This is their time. Hallelujah. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. I'll be more than happy to stand with you in prayer for whatever it is that you're needing right now. I thank you so much. I just get overjoyed, and I know I say this all the time, but for every email that I read, it just really just cheers my heart just to know that God's work is working throughout everywhere. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your work. I thank you for all that you're doing. So keep on with the emails. Keep on doing what you're doing, and I want to stand with you. You can also reach us at via phone at 210 area code, and that's 253-9093. Giving a big shout out again to my family, to my mom, my sisters and brothers, my nieces and nephews alike, and all of the sick and shut in, all of the ones that are on the chat lines or that's going to be in the archives, and all of the ones that reach out through email. God bless you, and we're praying for each and every one of your requests. And just get some praise reports. I love your praise reports. God bless you. We're going to go ahead and start tonight because, you know, tonight we've just been building up and we've just been talking about a lot of the different things, and we've learned how God can use us even during our difficult times that we go through. And we're now just going further into that. It's just how to survive some of the obstacles. And we look around us, and we see there are many obstacles in this world, you know, that we don't want to become a part of. Amen? We still got to live here in this world, but we don't want to become a part of all of that. You know, so how do we survive all of those different obstacles? So that's where we're going to pick right back up tonight with, because some people have a misconception that once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that everything is going to be easy now, that the devil's just going to have to lift his hands up off of you, you know? And we're going to clear that up for you tonight, too. We're going to go ahead and start with our scripture. So, sister, whenever you're ready, let's go ahead and do our scripture for tonight.
All right. Good evening, everyone. My name is Lameka Dumas. I'm taking place of Tatiana Dumas tonight. Tonight I'm going to be reading from Psalms 118, verse 6 through 8. I'm reading from the NIV version, New International Version. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, sister, for taking out the time and read that powerful word of God and share that with the world. And may everyone who actually hear that word, may you be blessed. And now the one who's going to take another step and actually going to live off of that word, who's going to stand against that word when the powerful enemy comes against you, you're going to call out that word right there to them. We just thank you for the hearers, the readers, the hearers, and the doers of your word. And one more time, that was Psalms 118, is that correct?
That is correct. That's Psalms 118, verse 6 through 8.
Amen, verse 6 through 8. Thank you so much. Isn't it something how God just is in the midst? You know, he said for two or three of us gathered together, he's there in the midst of us, you know? Surviving obstacles, what better scripture was it than that, you know? And we had, you know, we pray about them, and whoever they're reading the scripture prays about the scriptures to bring forth, and God just gets in the midst of their hearts and just makes sure that it touches you and your situation and my situation, and it gets together with even the word that's going to be brought forth. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for your power. Thank you for your power. In this world, there's so many things. Have you heard anybody say, well, you know, now that it's all over, I'm laying down all of those things, you know. I don't have to worry about being tempted any longer. I don't have to worry about anything going wrong anymore because now I have decided that I'm going to be a child of God and I'm going to do this. So everything is different for me now. Excuse me. Everything is going to be okay. I don't have to worry about the pains and problems that a sinner man may have. Well, let's go ahead and clear that optical, that wrongly impression that's been going around up. Because remember, if you are not being tempted by the enemy in any way, if the enemy is not knocking on your door trying to destroy you, kill you, and move you out of the way from heavenly gates, then you're probably already on his side. And you're probably already in his court. He probably don't even have to worry about you getting anywhere close to God's righteousness or his pathway. So he's already got you manipulated. So he already knows that you're coming with him, that you're going to fail. He's already killing your life. He's already killing everything around you. He's already destroying everything around you. He may put some sugar coat on top of it. But he's already doing those things. So that's why you may not feel that added pressure. You see, it's just like some of the things that he do to you is so detrimental to you. But you don't see it now because you don't see the outcome. You don't understand when you take that first hit that down the road that hit is going to be what eats up the inside of you. Just going to have you where you've lost your family, your job, your home, your cars. Where you may look at past a mirror and you don't even recognize yourself. See, he doesn't reveal those things to you because he is a liar. He's the father of all lies. So he doesn't reveal to you the truth. He only shows you what you see right now. And he gets glory and he gets all hyped up about getting you hyped up on what you're going to feel when you do this. Yeah, if you just go over here and just sleep with this man right here, you're going to feel awesome. It's going to be a marvelous time. See, he keeps you right there in the moment. He dare not express to you what's going to come ahead, what the outcome of this action is going to be. So we get all messed up and mixed up, and then at the end when we're lambs and we're all messed up, we have to see what happened here. What happened here? So we as Christians, we know that as long as we're on this side, as long as we're on this wall, this is our battle. We're in a battle. We shouldn't get upset when there's something else going on in our life. Because once we figure out the antidote to the poison that's been given to us, we figure out We don't have to continue to drink that poison. We don't even have to continue. And if we get messed up in that, we have the antidote. And the same word is throughout the Bible. The word is, each word in here is something that relates to any situation that you and I will go to through on this journey. So it's important for us to get those words because it's our sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is our word, and we're on a battleground, and it's important to know which word to use and which fight you're in. You know, on some fights in my life that I've been in, some fights I just went in there and, it was just like, this is not going to be anything. Let's take care of this. Some fights in life, you may have to bring a friend with you, you know? And some fights in life, you may have to bring a whole family with you, a whole gang. But know which weapon that you're bringing with the fight that you're currently in. And in order to do that, it's you got to be in the Word. Even 5 minutes a day in the Word will equip you with the, it's better than nothing. Because the enemy thinks it's so hilarious for us to continue to shout in church, for us to continue to confess to others in the world that, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm religious. But we daily go on the battlefield with no armor on. Or we put on our armor at one part of the day. We don't try to fix it up. We don't try to tighten it up throughout the day. Our belt of truth maybe on came loose and it's laying way back over here. Our helmet of salvation is leaning back to the side. So our whole temple, our whole brain, all of that is exposed to the world. And we're still just strutting high. We got a Bible under our arm and we got a cross on our, around our neck. And we wonder why we're being hit. We've been attacked. Hallelujah. We've got to learn how to survive these obstacles. And when we were called into a new life with Christ, believe me, we all will start to encounter obstacles that may have been trying to be pushed on us when we was in the world, but we just didn't even notice it. One of the biggest barriers that we face is the culture in which we live. And I think we can all agree with that. It's the culture in which we live. We may not even, I might not ever recognize the danger that we are in until we fall into it. And sometimes we don't know how deep that fall is. We have to look honestly at our world. And I know we want to do fun things and we want to do some of the things that the world has presented to us. It looks like that's, whoa, that's, you know, that is fun. That is what everybody does. But when we fall, we don't know how deep it's going to be. So we don't know if we're going to be able to just get ourselves up, shake the dust off our feet, and move on. Or if that thing is going to keep us down for 10, 12, 15 years. If we're going to be trapped in that, and now we pass it down to generations and generations. Are you willing to be responsible for your generations that's after you to still be doing the same mess that you're doing? Don't you want them to make a difference and be able to say, I broke that hole, that stronghold? I didn't carry that and teach that. My kids didn't have to see me doing this and that. They see enough of that in the world. But I made a difference. When you answer to Jesus Christ, don't you want to stand face to face knowing that you've done your best to overcome some of this mess? We don't have to bend and bow down to everything. You know, even with our movies that we watch, you know, that entertains us, our music, whatever it is. It could be our friends with dirty jokes or racial jokes or whatever that obstacle is, we are not supposed to stand there and just be a part of those things. Those are obstacles. And as long as you're standing there, it's just like the enemy is just pounding on your heart and your mind, trying to get through to you. Get those same dirty jokes into your mind now. You'll just be sitting somewhere trying to read your Bible, and it'll just come to your mind, be like, oh, my goodness. You'll be just sitting somewhere trying to do the right thing, and that pornography will just jump back in your head. And it's just like a dog or it's feces somewhere. But if he comes and he poops right there in your floor, and the feces is there, that would disgust us. Most of us, anyway, right? But however, what if I, and that's just, let's compare that to all of the dirty lyrics that we listen to, because we said we just want to hear the beat. We just like the artists, and they usually don't say things like this. Don't know what happened to them this time. Are the movies that we watch, or even the friends that are so deep into cults and doing the wrong things, they're just wrong influences, but we say, well, I know how to make a choice that's not like that, though. You know, it's not going to be me. I'm just hanging with them. I'm not the one who's permitting friends. I just kind of hang with them. So let's compare that to this feces that's sitting here in the middle of your beautiful floor. Now, I'm going to do something about that for you, okay? Now, perhaps I go in and I whoop up some chocolate syrup, okay? And I come in here and I pour it all on top of that feces. And what if I go ahead and put some nuts, sprinkle some nuts on top of it? And I'm going to top it off with a cherry and maybe a little whipped cream. Now, is it better? You feel better now? I mean, it's still there. It's underneath all of this stuff there, but can you still, after a moment, your mind still can take you back to know what's underneath there, right? After a while, you're not smelling that chocolate anymore. You're smelling that feces just straight and raw. That's exactly what goes on in our life. We get ourselves so mixed up, so caught up, and we make all kind of excuses of what we can and cannot do and why we're going to do this and why we're not going to do this, why it's okay for us to do these things. And the behavior is still the same, regardless of how you look at it. The behavior is still wrong. See, I don't care how many people in the world tells you that what used to be wrong in the world, if he says that it's wrong in the word, I don't care how many people tells you that we're in 2013 and 2013 doesn't carry those same rules and laws. See, I don't care how many people stand up. I don't care if it's politicians. I don't care if it's entertainers, if they're in the public eye, if they're preachers, if they're teachers, evangelists. I don't care who they are. If they now stand up and go against anything that's in the word, it's still wrong. It's still wrong. So I know that, you know, in this day and time, you get looked down upon. You're the one in trouble when you stand out against the things that's going on in the secular world. Our secular culture is totally different than the Word of God, but it's still wrong. It's still wrong. The culture that we're living in, which means that it has little interest in any religious matters. Our secular culture has little or no interest at all in the Bible. Now, they may take a word from the Bible, take a verse from the Bible, and they try to predict it. And you know one that's very good, that's very, very good for our secular culture? That culture will tell you in a minute, don't judge me. Only God can judge me. See, they take different parts of it. Take a verse from the Bible. But they don't stand against. It doesn't stand up at all. Because the things that they're doing does not even apply to that. We also should do a self-examination of ourselves. And it's no way that I'm to stand here and call myself your friend, your family member, and watch you go down the road to destruction and say nothing about it, whether you choose to do anything about it or not. You see, you can be as hungry as you want to. And if my fridge is full of food, it's my job to make sure that I present and give this food to you. Now, whether you eat it, it's up to you. Whether you even accept it, it's up to you. But I want to be able to do my part as a Christian. You know, we talked about the Christ-like responsibilities that we have, making ourselves available, being aware of the situations around us, on a daily basis, making sure that we're doing something to edify the kingdom. Without a day passing, every day. So again, people say, why you want to push that off on me? The word is the truth. I want you to have the truth because the Bible says he wants none to perish. We're all made in his image. He wants none to get caught up in this secular culture and get lost and fall down into a deep hole that started out as a toehold and now is a stronghold that they can't break the shackles off by themselves. And I know that the only true way to be free is through Jesus Christ. I can't save you, but Jesus Christ can. So I want to lead you to the Savior. That's all I need to do. Whether you accept it is up to you. Our world is also materialistic. Whew. Isn't that though? Its primary focus is on accumulating possessions, gaining more wealth, you know, not on caring about others, as we were speaking about on last evening, not on giving sacrificially, no, but it's all about accumulating possessions, gaining more wealth, getting your name in the Forbes magazine for the top richest people. It's not about the Bible. So when you say that you are a Christian and you're running and 23 hours of your day is doing what the world does, trying to accomplish what they have, I beg to differ. Now, let me just get something straight, and again, I reiterate, hear me from my spirit. You know, you got to be an achiever. Be an achiever. Reach out there for your goals. Accumulate some possessions. Gain your wealth. I'm not telling you not to. But when that becomes the most important thing in your life, when those things begin to separate you from doing for others, when those things are more important to you than being in some quiet time with the Lord, you've gone overboard. You've fallen. You're deep. You're in it deep. Hallelujah. Tragically, it's so tragic that many of the things that our culture values, again, they stand in opposition to the way that Jesus calls us to live. So that's why we can't just listen to the beat. Because what they're saying to that beat is in opposition to the way that Jesus calls us to live. And we're smarter than that. We're stronger than that. We got to be more stronger than just fall for anything. Come on, if I fall, let me fall because it was something more complicated than that. I want to hear the beat? Come on. But that's my actor. I want to hear what they got. But it's the most promoted thing. But this is supposed to be the best movie? Because everybody wants to date her. Everybody wants to date him. And they've asked me out. And you're telling me to say no? Well, he's married. But him and his wife don't get along. She says she's divorcing her husband. But she's not yet. She's married. But that child is only 14 years old. You're a grown man. But they said it's okay, they want to. But she's a child. See, we can't get this thing mixed up. We got to stay in the right arena. We can't get all mixed up with this. Hallelujah. Now, when the scriptures contradict what our society believes, it's not uncommon for people to belittle our lifestyle and they, you know, as narrow-minded and extreme. You know, they want to call us, you know, they just go to the extreme. Oh, they're narrow-minded. Why? Why do you think they would belittle us? Because they know that what the life they're living, they know that what they're practicing contradicts the word. Contradicts the word. You know, when you was a child and all of the ones that was doing the, you know, may have done something when the teacher was out of the room.
When they come back in the room and she starts getting up, they're the first one to say, I don't know who did it. Maybe they did it. I don't know who did it. You know, so the biggest, loudest ones that try to belittle Christians, Christians' lifestyles, because they're so guilty, and they know that the word is contradicting them. And so they don't want to be convicted of the word, so they rather throw it off on you. They rather start talking about you, talking about that you're narrow-minded, talking about that you can't get together with what's going on in 2013. You know? Oh, that's Old Testament, honey. You may need to live by the New Testament. Well, let's live by the New Testament. It's still saying the same thing. It's wrong. The things that you're doing are wrong. And you know what each one of those things are. The Bible tells us that we are drawn into destruction by our own individual thoughts. It's your own individual bad things, your fear, whatever it is that your own desires. So you know what your desire is that's keeping you separated from the Lord. Hallelujah. But don't get mad at me because I choose to repent of my sins because I choose to try to live a holy life. Hallelujah. And in many ways, our society is spiritually rebellious. It's rebellious in that it defies both the laws of God and the laws of man. Obedience is considered optional. Would you agree in this day and time? Obedience is considered optional. See, a large percentage of the population rejects God's viewpoints on intimacy, on marriage. And why? In order to please themselves. Right? Now, I'm not just talking about the street people either. Hear me. I'm talking about people who are sitting in your church, Pastor. People who are sitting right beside you, evangelist. I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about teachers, leaders themselves, who are afraid to call out this musician when they know what's going on in his life. Who are afraid to speak the word because they don't want to step on any toes in the congregation. So when that happens, the whole congregation becomes spiritually rebellious. And so they defy both the laws of God and the laws of man. So they have their own viewpoints, and they reject any viewpoint about relationships, marriages, intimacy, in order for their own self-gratification. And then as a result, immorality is prevalent, but they have been deceived into thinking that they can violate God's law without any consequences. And so many times, preachers and leaders and teachers are standing in front of your own congregation, and you are not doing anything about the misled flock. You're not doing anything. You're skipping over which word to preach. And God is just knocking on your heart and telling you, this is what I need you to speak to the people about today. But you're so caught up in you. You're so caught up in how they feel about you. You're so caught up about the offering that's going to be coming in that you're not trusting God to be God. So you would just rather say what's pleasing, knowing that you're going to have a misled flock, knowing that you're deceiving your flock. In our closing tonight, I remind you that unless we are careful, we can fall prey to the world's traps. And to survive our obstacles, we must learn how to wait on God for all of those things. We must learn to wait. We can't get hasty like Abraham and Sarah and go ahead and pull out a Hagar. We have got to be patient and learn how to wait. Tomorrow we're going to talk about just waiting, the grace to wait, just having that grace to wait. From the lack of time, I really appreciate Everyone, I know that God has spoke to your heart tonight. Let's go in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word. May it penetrate and make changes in every life, in here, live, in the archives, and all around the world. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to just repeat after me. Make that important step, and then reach out and tell somebody. Here we go. It's this simple. God, I believe that you are the beginning and the end of all creation. I believe that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he gave his life. He shed his blood for me, and his blood covers my sins. I am a sinner, and I confess with my mouth. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come live inside of me. Be my friend, be my father, be my leader, be my savior. Amen. You can reach me, walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, that's walkwithmegod@aol.com. And I would love to just be a part of your walk, whatever you're going through, whatever you're doing. Holy, thou art holy. Until the next time, I love you, but God loves you more. This is Evangelist Von Dimas signing off. Good night. Hold